Welcome to Devotionary and our study of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Today's episode covers a very familiar passage of Scripture found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. And the title of this episode is based on the three words Jesus mentions in these verses: ask, seek, knock. For many of us, we grew up hearing these words used as part of an invitation to salvation. And while they certainly can apply, we have to decide whether that was Jesus' original intention when he spoke these words. Was he inviting non-believers to salvation, or encouraging those who would one day find themselves approved by God because of their faith in Jesus' death to take advantage of their intimate relationship with the Father? It makes a significant difference in how you apply this passage, because it changes who these three words apply to. We have to remember that Jesus was talking about the kingdom of heaven and was juxtaposing it with the kingdom of this earth. He was letting his audience know that things were about to change in a dramatic way. He had come to bring new life and a new means by which men might be made right with God, and therefore enjoy an intimate relationship with him like they never had before. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be open. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. As Jesus begins to bring his message to a close, we must keep in mind that he's still addressing those who are blessed or approved by God. Many of these individuals, including his disciples, are in his audience, but have not yet embraced him as their Savior. But they will. In a way, Jesus is speaking prophetically, talking in a future sense of those who will come to faith in him as their Messiah. But it's still early on in his ministry, and most are not yet aware of who he really is. Some viewed him as a rabbi or teacher, others as a worker of miracles, but most had not yet understood his claim to be the Son of God and their Messiah. But the day will come when they will believe and express as Peter did, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16, verse 16. It is to these individuals Jesus is speaking when he says, "Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you." Matthew 7, verse 7. Jesus is describing an intimate relationship with God the Father that provides his children with constant access into his presence. With three simple words, ask, seek, and knock, Jesus is letting them know that all who are approved by God will enjoy a special relationship with him that will be far greater than any earthly relationship they have ever known. There are those who try to give these verses an evangelistic interpretation, turning them into an invitation to salvation. But if kept in their context, it becomes clear that these verses are not inviting anyone into a saving relationship with Jesus. Instead, they are encouraging those who have already been approved by God because of their faith in Christ to take advantage of their newfound relationship with him. For everyone who asks, receives, everyone who seeks, finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Matthew 7, verse 9. We can ask of God and receive from him. We can seek him and find him. We can knock and he will open the door to us. Gone are the days of trying to win access into God's presence through keeping the law. There's no longer any need to try to win God's approval and get his attention through human effort or achievement. Jesus was letting his audience know that the day was coming when the blessed or approved by God would have unparalleled intimacy with God. And I think his use of these three words, ask, seek, and knock, are directly tied to his words regarding fasting, prayer, and almsgiving. If you think about it, fasting was intended to give up something earthly in order to focus one's attention on God. It was an attempt to seek intimacy and fellowship with God by denying oneself the pleasures of this life. Prayer was a means by which men could come to God and petition him for their needs. And almsgiving was a mercy-based generosity to those who came to you with their needs. Jesus is telling us that we can knock at God's door and receive mercy from Him. He opens His door and invites us into His presence. God is good and loving. He's gracious and kind. We can ask of Him and He will answer. We can seek Him and find Him. We can knock and find access into His presence, all because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished on our behalf. And Jesus reminds His listeners that God is far more generous and loving than any earthly father. Even a human father, in his sinfulness, would never give something harmful in response to his child's request. It would be ludicrous to think of a dad giving his child a stone rather than bread, or a snake instead of fish. And our Heavenly Father is far more loving, gracious, and kind than any earthly father. We can ask, seek, and knock, knowing that He will answer us, reveal Himself to us, and give us access into His presence. For the average Jew, God was a distant deity. He was not viewed as easily accessible or approachable. The entire sacrificial system pointed to a God who demanded cleansing from impurity before access could be granted. Sin proved to be a constant barrier to God for the Jews. And they were required to go through the priest in order to have their sins forgiven and their relationship with God restored. But Jesus is introducing something radical and new. With His coming death on the cross, the veil in the temple will be torn in half, symbolizing the barrier between God and man having been destroyed and eliminated once for all. With the shedding of His own blood, Jesus will eliminate the need for the blood of bulls and goats. He will act as both the sacrificial lamb and the high priest, offering His own life as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. And those who place their faith in His sacrifice will enjoy unbroken fellowship with God. These verses tie directly back to the opening lines of Jesus' sermon. Those who are approved by God, though they be poor in spirit, they will be citizens of God's kingdom. Though they will experience days of mourning in this life, they will receive comfort from God. And their willing meekness or submission to the will of God for their lives will garner them the earth as their inheritance. When they hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God, they will be completely satisfied. When they choose to show mercy to others, they will continue to receive mercy from God. And their purity of heart will allow them to see God in their lives. When they seek to be at peace with men and introduce them to how to have peace with God, they will be recognized as the sons of God. And finally, any persecution they face in this life because of their faith will be well worth it, because they have been guaranteed a place in God's kingdom. Ask, seek, knock. Three words of invitation to all those who have been approved by God. And they should produce in us a joy that is unparalleled and unsurpassed. Like the psalmist, we should say, "Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to Him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to Him. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds in His hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to Him, for He made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. We are the people He watches over, the flock under His care." Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7.